your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. What we're going to do, we're just going to go through a few things and look at a few things this morning. And I just thank God that I was looking at that lineup on that board, and it's just kind of humbling to be in that lineup with these men that I look up to. And I thank God for the work that he's done, not only in me, but in all of us. And if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading in verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and honor. What I want to do is I want to go through this passage, but I don't want to read the whole passage for sake of time. I just kind of want to go through and break some of these things down. And one thing that we have to realize is God has given to us everything that we could possibly need in order that we can have life and that we can live holy. And we have no excuse as to why we live sometimes the way we do. How many of us would testify sometimes we live out of character? We act out of character. And what we have to do is we have to examine ourselves. And what we have to do is we have to realize in 1 Corinthians, I kind of paraphrase 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writing, he says that in everything we have been enriched by God in all utterance, in word, and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed or established in us. For what reason? So that we are not left lacking in any gift while we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. God did not start a work in us that he himself could not bring to completion. Y'all understand that? We have no excuse as to why we don't live for God. Although I find myself, Brother Matt, from time to time struggling with my flesh, struggling with the things of this world, struggling, Brother Brad, looking at other people, longing to be what I used to be from time to time. Why? Because those things were comfortable to me. They were easier to me. I didn't have the battles. But what we see here in this verse, he says here in verse 3, according to his divine power. Notice he didn't say out of his divine power, but according to his divine power. I got a little illustration here of this, and I thank God that God has given to us according to his divine power, not out of his divine power. A guy I worked for had a buddy, Brother Jimmy may know him, Brother Jimmy's dad may know him. This guy bought a house in Tofunctha Country Club. $1 million place. I think y'all bid on tearing it down, right? Guy bought this place. Now, this is how wealthy this guy was. He bought this place just to tear down. Fine house. Brand new. Y'all remember that? $2 million. I was wrong. $2 million. Well, a buddy of mine's good friends with this guy. His daughter played basketball. They were on a traveling team. They were going to Florida to play in some big tournament, and there were some people that needed to be sponsored, some underprivileged kid girls on this team that needed to be sponsored. So he goes to this guy. And he said, I've never asked you for any kind of money. I understand you have plenty. This man pays probably $250,000 quarterly, he told me, in taxes. So, I mean, this guy's wealthy. He said, is there any way? He said, this is tax deductible. Could you write a check and sponsor one of these girls? He said the guy kind of had the mother grub, didn't really want to do it, said everybody's always bugging him for money. He said, but I guess being it's tax deductible, I'll go ahead and write you a check. So this guy writes him a check. He gets the check. He said he didn't look at it. He put it. He said he knew well able that this guy was able to support the check. He went and got in his truck. He said he got in his truck and he opened up. You know how much he wrote the check for? $40. You know what he said he did? He said he tore it up. Now that guy gave out of his abundance, right? He didn't give according to his abundance. Now we see here that what Peter's saying is that God has given us what? In accordance to his power, his divine power. Now, how much power? Now, had this guy give out of accordance to his money, he'd have wrote a big check. He didn't just give a portion of what he had. And we see here that God has given us. How powerful is God? He's all powerful. And what he says here, he says, according to his divine power, he hath given unto us what? All things. Why? That we're lacking in nothing. He has given us all things. If you look, hath given here at first glance, I'm not an English teacher, I think Miss Denny is. At first glance, hath given here seems to be in the simple past tense, right? but it's not. It's actually in the, it's a perfect participle, which speaks of a past completed act of presenting a gift with the present result that is still in the possession of the believer. Now, what does that say to me? God not only hath given me all things back when I got saved, but God is continually giving me every single thing I need in order that I can live for Him. What is He giving? He's given us all things, right? According to His divine power, He has given us all things and everything that we need that pertains to life. This word life here, He's not talking about like what you were just preaching about. He's not talking about riches. He's not talking about food. He's not talking about raiment. He's not talking about shelter. Even though God has given us all, where do all these things come from? We understand that they do come from God. We understand as we look out that God has blessed the just and the unjust, right? But that's not what He's talking about here. This word here that He's talking about, He's given us all things that pertain to spiritual life. That we who were dead in sins and trespasses, has He quickened? Has He made alive? That He has given us life, and He has given us what? Life more abundantly. And the thing is what God has given us, He's given us these things. Why? So that we can live for Him. Notice He says here, according to His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to what? And to godliness. Now, to me, this is great news. But in the same sense, to me, this is bad news in the fact that God has given us everything we need to live a life above reproach and above sin. He has. Where do we find these things? We find these things in His Word. Romans 6:14 says this, for sin shall not have dominion over you or us. Why? For you're not under the law, but under grace. I don't know if we truly understand the victory that Christ had over the law of sin and death. He conquered it. And if we are in Him, if we have died with Him, if we are in Him and we're one with Christ, sin no longer possesses the right to have legal jurisdiction over our life. Y'all understand that? That sin no longer has the right to govern us, to dictate to us, Brother Steve, the things that we... But you know what? From time to time, I find myself yielding my members... Myself and my members, that being my mind. How many of y'all have troubles in your mind? Some of the things that we think. I mean, that is our battleground. That's why the Bible, one thing we have to realize is that our flesh has not been redeemed. It's still corrupted. Our mind has not been redeemed. That's why we are to put on the mind of Christ. That is why we are to take every thought captive. Why? Because if we just do what comes natural to us, we'll find ourselves doing the things of the natural man, and we understand that the natural man or the natural mind is what? Is enmity against God. And what we have to do is we have to take our thoughts captive, and what we have to do is we no longer can just let ourselves do what we want to do, and from time to time we have to discipline ourselves not to yield ourselves or our members, our hands, our eyes, our ears, our mind, our thought process, to be used as instruments of unrighteousness. We no longer bound to sin. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I thank God that curse of sin has been broken in my life. And I'll go back and I'll look at this verse and I see these verses, which is good that, hey, God has given me everything I need to live for Him, to live a life that is pleasing to Him, because that's who I'm to live for. And not only has He given me a life to live pleasing for Him, but He's also given me the ability to live godly. That's what He says here. He says, according to His divine power, He hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. How does He do this? He does it through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, there's two, as we go through this passage, there's two words here. Knowledge is actually used three times, but it's actually two different words. The word knowledge here simply means the recognition or to acknowledge. And how do we get to that place? According to His divine power, He hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness through the recognition of Him that has called us. You know what we have to do? We have to get to that place where we recognize and we get in God's Word. Where does knowledge come from? Wisdom and knowledge comes from the Word of God. And apart from Him and apart from staying in His Word, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to live godly. We're going to do what comes natural to us. And the thing is, what we're going to see is we're going to see ourselves. How many of us would confess that we too often give in to the dictates of our sinful flesh? We give in to our flesh. We don't resist. Is it just me? Am I the only one? Thank you, Brother Al. And the thing is, what we have to realize is God has given us the power to live, I'd have to say this, better than what I'm living right now. And what I have to do is I have to remind myself, I have to acknowledge that fact that He has paid for my sins and that He has given me the power to live above sin and reproach. He says here in verse 4, and we're going to move on and try and go through this passage. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Where do we find these promises at? In the Word of God. That by these, by what? By these promises, you and I may be able to take hold, take possession, that we may be what? Partakers of the divine nature. How many of us would have to say, honestly, that we could testify and say that we have a divine nature? Now, I thank God I get around, man, I look at Brother Steve Spray, and I'm not trying to lift a man up. But I remember when God started, I remember Brother Steve Spray before he was sold out to God. And I'm not trying to bring up anything from the past, but I seen God do a work in a man. And there's all kind of people that we can stop and remember and see God all. Oh, you ever get around somebody's got God on them? That divine nature, that they are being conformed from glory to glory, changed, transformed from day to day, being conformed more and more like Christ. And I tell you what, it's good to see that. He says right here, by these precious promises, by these great and precious promises, that by these we may be able to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through the lust. I like what Peter said in 1 Peter when he says, brethren, I beseech you as pilgrims and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. Y'all realize the reason that we have the conflict that we have is because of our lust? And the thing is, we don't have to give way. We don't have to yield to our fleshly desires. We don't have to yield to our lust. And what we need to look at here in verse 5, and we're going to move on through this passage. He gives us some practical application. How many of y'all need help? I need help. And I need help. I wish some tremendous preacher would come in and just preach a sermon that transformed me from now for the rest of my life. Doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. Jesus could have done it with His disciples. He didn't do it that way. He taught them every single day so that it was a sanctification. Justification is a one-time deal. I'm just as justified as you, but sanctification is a progressive work where God, where we cooperate with Him and God works in us and He transforms us. And what He does, He gives us a practical list. I say we need to write this list down and start practicing these things on a regular basis. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, where does faith come from? Faith comes from God. He says, add to faith. What are we to add? We are to add virtue. Now, this word virtue, he said, what you need to do is you need to take your faith, the faith that God has given us. And we understand that faith comes from the Word of God. And we are to couple together with our faith virtue. Virtue, I just looked up some simple definitions for sake of time. It means moral excellence. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now, this is a different word for knowledge here. This word means understanding, moral wisdom, or right living. Right? You see, what he's saying is we need to add to our faith, the faith that God has given to us. We need to add moral excellence. We need to add understanding or moral wisdom. And wisdom is the ability to apply what we learn. Right? And wisdom comes from God. Any man lack, let him ask. God will give it to him, right? He says, and to knowledge, we're to add what? Temperance. Now, what is temperance? Temperance is self-control. I hate to admit it, but I have trouble in this area. How many of us would have to testify we have trouble controlling or crucifying our flesh, ourselves? He says, to temperance, we are to add patience, which goes along with, but the simple definition for patience is to endure despite delay or difficulty in success of achieving a goal. And the thing is we live this life is real. And the Christian walk is real. And it's hard, and from time to time, how many of y'all have delay in achieving success? How many of y'all have difficulty? I don't know about y'all, but I want to be like Christ. And the more I learn about Him, the more I realize there was no guile found in His mouth. That means deceit. I check my motives, Brother Stephen. A lot of times my motives are totally wrong in most everything I do. When I go back and examine myself, I see that I have deceit. I have guile. I'm looking out for me and what I need to be instead of me wanting to get the glory. Because He's called us to glory and to virtue. And this glory we are to rebound back to Him. And the thing is if I examine myself from time to time, I'm the one that wants to get the glory. And what I have to do is I have to fight myself. I have to deny myself. And I receive delay in achieving this. Why? Because I understand I still have my flesh. But that doesn't give me an excuse, right? Because He said He's given us all things. And to patience, what? Godliness, which means holiness, to be set apart, to be sanctified, and to brotherly kindness. Y'all know what brotherly kindness is. And to brotherly kindness, what? Charity, love. What are these things? So we understand that we can't do these. There's some people in this church that are unlovable. There's some people that we meet on a regular basis that we cannot love in and of ourselves. And if God does not love them through us, we're not going to do it. And what we're going to do is we're not going to add these things together. Look what He says here in verse 8. For if these things, if godliness, if virtue, if faith, virtue, right living, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge or the recognition of the Lord. Y'all ever get to that place where you're not fruitful and you can't recognize? Now, I'm talking to some preachers here that's supposed to live above those things. But I'd like for y'all to be honest. Is there ever a time in your life where you're unfruitful, when you're barren, and you can't recognize the work that God's doing in your life? You get away from Him. And that's what that word knowledge, remember we said it means to recognize, to be able to understand or to see that God is doing a work even amidst our trials and our tribulations. Even when things seem to be falling apart, it seems God's still working in us to conform us. All things work together, right? For thee called to conform us to the image of His Son. Look at what He says here. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren, and I hate to say it, but I've been there, nor unfruitful. That's a battle for me. Because from time to time, I may get it right, and God may be doing a work. Man, it's easy at church. It's easy during revival week. And it's great to come and get pumped up for revival. But you know what's going to be a true test, if I'm right? Monday morning, when that alarm clock goes off and I have to get up and I get into that place. And I thank God that He is relentless in His pursuit of intimate fellowship with His people. I thank God because He is. There's days when I resist the drawing and the wooing of God, and God is relentless to draw me and call me unto Himself. He says here that if you are, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But He, look at here, He changes the personal pronoun to who He's talking to. But he that lacketh these things is what? Is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Any of y'all ever got to that place? I thank God that I hadn't forgotten that I was purged. But I tell you what, there's times whenever I can't see all the things that are going on around me. And what happens, we allow our circumstances to dictate to us the way that we act. And what we have to do is we have to press on. And we have to remind ourselves that sin no longer has dominion over us, and that God has given us all things that pertain unto life. Look what He says here in verse 10. Wherefore the rather, because these things and more, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, how many of us really would honestly say that we want to fall? None of us. He says that we are to what? Give diligence to make your calling. How many of y'all ever been called? I thank God for the calling of God. I thank God that one day where I was, God reached down and called me. He says to make your calling and your election. I thank God that God chose me. I wasn't looking for God. I thank God that He did a miraculous work, not only in me, but those that are around me and those in this world, my family. But He says, to sum it up here, He says, to make your salvation, your calling and your election, your salvation, to make it sure. You ever seen somebody that doubted their salvation? How effective are they for Christ? Now, this word sure here is a good word. I like this word sure here. It's actually a business term. And this word sure is like a bill of sale. And what it is, and the reason that we have a bill of sale, is to keep a third party from coming in and claiming ownership. And what he's saying is he said we need to make our salvation sure. Why? Because if we're not doing all these things, if we're not adding all these things together, we'll become nearsighted, forget what God's done for us. We won't be able to recognize the work of the Lord. And what happens is our enemy will come in and try and overtake us, get a stronghold in us, and what he'll try and do is claim ownership to us. When we understand that what he says is we make these things sure. Why? You know what that bill of sale, when I went and bought something and I got a bill of sale, you know what? It belongs to me. Right. Nobody else can come in and can take it because I have a legal document that this is mine and this title belongs to me. And I thank God that we can know for sure that we belong to Christ and Him. And it's so important for us to practically, day in and day out, to add these things to our faith. Because if we don't, you know what we're going to find ourselves? We're going to find ourselves yielding and giving way to our natural flesh and our natural desires. And we're going to find ourselves being barren and unfruitful, without labor. How many of us, we see that doing kingdom work? Reminded this week of preaching in a revival service my older brother had preached. Reminding me how important it is to be doing the work of the Lord today and every day. And I have to confess, there's times when I get focused on me and my surroundings that I allow those things to slip and I waste days that I could be impacting people, that I can be doing a work for God and His work. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We pray for Your word, that You would just bless it. It is all sufficient. And God, we just ask You to sanctify us through Your word, because Your word is truth. In Christ's name, amen.